Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
This is Ryan Fitzpatrick, and you're listening to the Neil Reynolds Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to episode 10 of the Neil Reynolds Podcast. Wow, 10 episodes in already. I'm your host, Neil Reynolds, and I hope you're enjoying the series so far. Today's episode features one of my good friends in this business and a regular on our Sky Sports coverage, Dan Hansus, the outstanding host of the Around the NFL podcast. Dan and the Around the NFL guys have been a key part of our Sky Sports show for 3 years now, and they've built quite the following in the UK. They are excellent, and I'm a big fan of their work. Dan and I chatted in the media center at the Super Bowl in Miami back in early February. While most of the networks were chasing down players on Radio Row, I just wanted to hang out with Dan and find out why the Around the NFL podcast has become so successful.
It is amazing, and especially the UK audience. It's such a perfect marriage, us being involved with your team, Neil, because we're lucky enough that we have fans on both sides of the Atlantic, but the passionate fans, the ones that are just nuts for the show in the best way, are in England and Ireland and the surrounding area. And it's so cool to be able to come on your show on Sundays and share our stupid opinions on things. and then, you know, I have a Nando sticker on my laptop that I do as a homage to the British fans and the UK fans, and everyone, I'll get a ton of mentions every time, because that's just like a little connection
that we
built, it's one of the coolest things about what's happened with this podcast over 7 years.
Do you think it's because of the way you guys cover the sport? So the way you are on your podcast, I think it resonates with British people. Our humor is to kind of poke fun at each other,
right?
To take the piss out of each other, as we would say. And it seems like you guys
mean, it's funny because when we've now done two live shows in London each of the past two seasons, and after the shows we'll talk to the audience members, and more than, I mean, I would say 10, 15 people, they like to share that opinion, even unsolicited, be like, I know why your show is successful over here.
Right.
It's because of the way you guys talk to each other and the way that you mess with each other, and your sense of humor is a match with us. And me, you know, I don't like to travel too much, Neil. So I don't have a ton of experience overseas. I don't know what the personalities and the makeup of the culture is, but I'll take your guys' word for it. If that's what it is, that's awesome, because it just shows you that even if you're not in even close to the same place, you can still connect with people far away.
Did you watch Friends, the Friends TV series?
Of course.
So when your own Joey went to London, that's how I pictured you the first year you came to London.
Like, was
you
I loved wearing, it. Like a giant, like,
no, it's just you. No, it's just
Union Jack hat or something.
It's just you loved it, but if you walked past the Star Spangled Banner, you'd cry and want to go home. It's like, I feel like you were.
Yeah, I feel like that has been played up a little bit on the podcast.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I'm a very worldly man in reality, Neil. But that's the other great thing, as being from New York. And I miss New York, even though L.A. has been great to me and my family. Going to London does give me a little bit of a New York vibe, too, and just the melting pot and the culture of it all and the hustle and bustle. So I look forward to that London trip and getting on the plane every year.
Imagine that, a narrative getting blown out of proportion on the Around the NFL podcast. Breaking news.
I'm usually the one that does it, so I can't get too mad if it's done to me. Let's face it.
Obviously, the people listening, a lot of people know your story now and host of the Around the NFL podcast, but tell us how you got to that. When did you start covering the NFL, and what did you do before that? Give us your journey to
the journey,
to where you are.
Yeah. You know, I think one of the funny things about us as a group is that we all kind of took a a circuitous route to get to where we were. I'm the only one that actually went to college and trained in journalism, but I didn't really know what that meant. I knew that I loved sports as a kid, so I said, well, I want to be a sports writer. That makes sense.
Yep.
And then I went to college in Boston at Northeastern University and got a job out of school at a newspaper, like the way everyone else starts. My first job was actually with Ian Rappaport, Rap Sheet. We worked in the same newsroom fresh out of college.
Wow.
As part-time local sports reporters. And I did the grind, and I covered girls diving and boys lacrosse and driving all over Westchester and Rockland counties outside New York City. And I put in the work, and I also got to cover football and baseball, but I didn't feel hugely rewarded by it. And the life of a newspaper man, as I got closer to it, I was like, I don't know if this is for me. So I started to bounce around a little bit. I worked at a public relations firm for about a year and a half in my mid-20s, which is almost completely so I could have the weekends off again, because I had moved into an apartment with my buddies. And the worst thing about covering sports and being a young sports writer is your weekends.
All the sports are played on the weekend.
Dictated, yeah, by going to high schools and then going back to newsrooms and filing copy. And then the path to NFL started when I got a job at Major League Baseball in 2006, which I did for 2 years in Manhattan. And then again, I was feeling restless and feeling like this is getting closer to what I want. I'm now in the big leagues, but I feel like this is not what I want to do right now. And it was around that time that a very close friend of mine, Bob Castrone, who I now do my throwback podcast with, he had just signed a development deal. He was doing sketch comedy at the time, and was moving from New York to L.A., and they successfully recruited me to join them as a writer and as a producer. And we were living in the Hollywood Hills, and things were great,
and then
we ran out of money. A recession hit in the United States in 2008, and we ran out of money, and the work dried up, so I returned back to New York. And then I was just kind of like, now what? Now what do I do? And then I was picking up little stringer jobs here and there, and then from my old MLB connection, the guy I worked with was at NFL.
Right.
And I said, I didn't really want to move back to L.A. after coming back to New York, but I'm going to connect with this guy because I don't know what else I'm going to do. Got a part-time job in 2010 working on the desk with Mark Sessler, who had just started at the time as well.
Okay.
And that's what got me to NFL. And one of the reasons I'm with NFL for almost 10 years now is that we've always been given the opportunities to grow and advance our careers. And at first we were just editing copy, Mark and I, and then they started to let us write original content. And that led to Dave Damashek asking Mark and I to come on to the Dave Damashek football program as the ATL debate club. Sheck called us our fan base, the Flames,
right,
and had a whole theme song for us, and it was great. And then off that spun the Around the NFL or the Around the League podcast in 2013, which became the Around the NFL podcast. And have just been kind of riding that wave ever since.
Riding the wave, indeed. In my opinion, the Around the NFL podcast is the leading NFL-themed podcast in the world. Actually, second best. And they're only behind this podcast, so they're not doing too bad. A big part of the appeal is that their podcast is, of course, about American football, but it's also about people, with Dan Hanses, Greg Rosenthal, Chris Westlin, and Mark Sessler bringing their personal lives to air. They let the listeners know who they are and what they're about.
I think, when we're planning shows, especially when I'm trying to lay out what the show is going to be, if there's something going on in our personal lives or we're connected to something, whether it's a softball team or an engagement or a holiday party or whatever it is,
right,
that's always something that I'll file away and be like, oh, let's bring that up. And it will annoy Greg sometimes if we ever – it's gotten to the point now where we all kind of sit in the same area in the newsroom. If someone starts talking about it, I'll be like, save it for the pod.
Right.
I don't want to have that conversation.
Yeah.
I want people to hear this conversation.
Yeah.
But certainly that's part of like show building, is thinking what's going on and what would be a fun kind of riffing topic. But just day to day, I think it's for a show, it's going through the news, finding what are the relevant stories. Yeah. That's the news rundown. And then putting our heads together and figuring out one segment that's either spinning off the news or is just something that, you know, one of our, like a What's More Likely segment or whatever, right. like one of our old play the hits, or coming up with something new, which is always preferable. Mm. So it's figure out the news, pick a segment, and then if there is something else to bake in there, right. that'll be fun to talk about, I always do.
It's interesting, you hear what guys are talking about and you kind of almost squirrel it away. I do the same on Sky Sports all the time.
Right.
Some of the best conversations from the pundits come while we're watching the game and we're not on air.
Right.
And I'm literally...
As a host, that's frustrating, right?
It is. It yes. is. But I also go, I'm having that in 2 minutes when we come back here. And then I'll ask them the question that leads to that conversation. So they've already had it sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, can't kind of stop them when they're in mid-flow. But you do hear a lot of stuff that when you're around, you try and make it into part of the show. Because you want people to hear it. You know?
Right, absolutely. And then one thing I'll do that, you know, maybe isn't always the healthiest in terms of personal bonds, but if I see, you know, a little, let's say, Wes or Greg and Mark have words about something, I'll file that away and make sure.
I do.
You got to cycle that back and get it out there.
I do the same all the time. And I actually did that. We had a thing towards the end of the regular season where we were asked to do our moments of the decade. And we had to do, you know, it was all this kind of end of the 2010s and what was your favorite moment? And Jeff Reinbold replies on the email chain, and Jeff says, oh, you know, the weekend that the NFL stopped playing around 9/11. So I chimed in on email, Jeff, that was 2001. So, okay, fine. Yeah, I got it wrong.
Jeff?
So then he goes.
Just been in Hawaii too long.
Yeah, then he goes, give me the Dolphins and Giants playing at Wembley in the first London game. I was like, I'm going to have to come back in again. Jeff, that was 2007. So I'm filing all this away. So when I introduce the segment on Sky, I tell him everything.
That's great.
Told him all of it. I had to. I couldn't help myself.
See, you're doing God's work there. That's the stuff people want to hear. I actually do think that, though. I think everyone has football opinions, and you're lucky you have great analysts that join you, and they'll give you that good stuff. But for me, as like a fan, I want some of that, but
yeah.
I want guys that are chopping it up and having fun, and especially I don't what you're looking for from like a show of personalities is guys that are having an authentic conversation, authentically laughing
right.
or sniping at each other,
yeah.
not something that's canned. And you know, that's I think the biggest problem with all these studio shows, not yours of
right.
course, but the ones that
good safe.
In the States where they spend tens of millions of dollars with the bringing in the talent,
yeah.
and then they spend another $4 million on the set, and then it's like the same conversations and the same awkward laughing and the same promos where they're tossing the football back and forth to each other in slow motion.
Give
me something real. Like I want, that's what I think
right.
people connect with. Like, well, these are like my buddies, because these are the type of guys that would be shooting the S at the pub.
Well, I told Wes this when we chatted a couple of days ago, and I said that sometimes I've had guys come in from America who've been in an American TV background, and I might ask a question about player A or player B. Let's say it's Mahomes or Lamar Jackson. And one of them says, oh, I like Mahomes. And the other one says, okay, well, I'll take Jackson. And I say to them, no, you don't have to.
Right.
You can, if you like Mahomes, say you like Mahomes as well. But
yeah.
like, there's so much quite structured, isn't there,
right.
in American TV?
That's the way it is. And I guess that's the ratings dictate that's what you're quote unquote supposed to do. But
right.
we've never done a segment before where it's like, you're talking about something you don't actually believe in.
Right.
Because I think listeners that are smart, they can just see through that.
Yeah.
And even if you do a good job of hiding that, it still does. It's going to come out in the conversation because you're not going to be talking about it with the same passion. Mm. You know?
It interests me when you just said that I was doing God's work. You, of course, have done God's voice. Which was one of the more memorable.
Yes.
If people are listening, then check out
yes.
Dan. Who was God talking to?
God was talking. Oh,
was it Jamal
a great
Adams?
Question.
Was it Jamal
yes,
Adams?
Yes, Jamal Adams
went around the trade deadline.
He was
right?
angry because he thought the Jets were shopping him.
Yeah,
and he tweeted out that he was going to leave it in God's hands.
Right. That's
and
right.
And as a Jets fan, I don't want Jamal Adams going anywhere.
So you so did God's voice.
I had to do God's voice.
So as I explained at the beginning of today's show, myself and Dan got together in Miami ahead of Super Bowl 54 to discuss the Around the NFL podcast and the heroes on that show. One thing that's clear is the relationship among the guys. They're way more than colleagues. They are indeed best friends. As Dan alluded to in the previous segment, never was this more evident than during Chris Wessling's battle with cancer in 2017. It was a time when Dan used his God's voice to show empathy for his dear friend. Wes recently revealed that his cancer has returned and he's beginning chemotherapy and targeted bone therapy treatment. At first, I was devastated for him and his wife, Lakeisha, as he found out right about the time of his birth of his son, Lincoln. But then I thought, this is a tough, determined, a much loved man who can get through this once again. I won't say beat cancer because I know Wes doesn't like that phrase. He doesn't like people who say they win or lose against cancer, but he can come out of the other side of this. Our prayers are with him and his family. It goes without saying, we love you, Wes. All of us NFL fans here in the UK are here for you, mate. And now back to Dan Hansus and his God's voice that said,
sorry about the cancer. My bad.
Yeah. But that's, you guys never shied away from that. And obviously you all went through a difficult period there. But the fact you could laugh about it afterwards is almost a celebration of that you're all back out the other side of it.
Yeah,
well.
And the Wes's cancer fight, which, I mean, he was so brave and we're so happy for him. The way it's all played out his whole life. We watched Wes from where he was when we first started working with him, a bachelor and just a totally different person to where he is now, happy with Lakeisha.
He's a wonderfully dressed man
with
now.
A child on the way. And he, that's one thing, yes. Speaking of things that to make sure you bring up on the show, Wes is a totally different dresser now than he used to be before he met Lakeisha. But he likes to claim that this was his own awakening, which I don't quite.
He's
I don't
evolved.
Quite buy. But yeah, the Wes and cancer, that. We were always close. We were always friends. But when that happened, you know, we all wanted to make sure we were there for Wes. And I think Wes is the only one that really went through it.
Sure.
But we were there for him. So now when we look back, we could talk about it and you can make a joke. Now, if I make that same joke on CBS, like an hour before kickoff, I'm out of the game forever.
You're gone. That's the beauty of your role.
That's the glory of the podcast division at NFL Media, is that whether they're not listening or they have given us the artistic license to stretch our legs, whatever it is, I don't even want to ask to find out.
Right.
We don't ever get really any blowback or pushback, right. Which is a great thing. So that's really helped the show grow as well, because there is a, having worked with other major leagues,
yeah,
there is the tendency, if you're working with a league, for it to be not censored, but more structured, right. And more like, you can't say this, you can't say that.
Yeah.
And the NFL has never hemmed us in and it allowed us to kind of grow the show. Like me and Mark had zero experience on mic when we started the podcast,
right?
Nor did Wes. Greg maybe had very little on camera, so it takes time to learn how
right.
to do it,
yeah,
how
yeah,
to be
yeah.
comfortable. I think that's the most important thing, is just to be comfortable.
Yeah,
and we were allowed to kind of do it in our own little lair, tucked away on the second floor of NFL Media, and I think it paid off, allowing us to kind of grow into the job.
We'll be back after this short break on the Neil Reynolds Podcast.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at FreeStyleLibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit MyFreeStyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, or prescription only. Safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
Welcome back. Now, before the break, we heard from Dan Hansus on the sense of humor that bonds the Around the NFL heroes. It's something I've experienced firsthand in recent years, with Dan suggesting that I drink while on air on Sky Sports.
I haven't suggested, I've outright
said that I have.
Said that you have, yes.
So I wanted Dan to give me the lowdown on how easy it is to push the buttons of his co-hosts.
Mark's the easiest because it could be almost literally anything.
I love that.
It depends on what day you catch Mark, but obviously the Browns, but it could be almost anything,
right.
Really, with Mark. So that's almost, sometimes it feels too easy.
He wants to get in and get out, right. As quick as possible, right? No fat around it.
Yeah, I have to pick my spots. With Wes, it's typically either his fashion choices or Eli Manning. Those are the two things.
Right, you know you're going to get a good reaction.
And it used to be the Patriots, and we used to go back and forth, and then Wes had an epiphany after the Patriots signed Antonio Brown.
Oh, yeah, he did.
And now he joined the anti-Patriots crowd, but that used to be a topic. Eli, the Patriots, his clothing. Greg, you know, Greg's kind of a tough guy to figure out sometimes, but I don't know. Actually, Greg is the one that I would say, like, challenging him on his football opinions, but not really. He's pretty laid back.
He's still comfortable.
The only thing would be talking about his upbringing. When I joke around Martha's Vineyard, which is a very she-she area in New England off the coast of Massachusetts, when I joke that that's where he grew up, where in reality he grew up in Springfield, which is a very kind of working class area.
Right. But you're not going to...
when I play the silver spoon card... That makes him very uncomfortable. And also when I touch Greg.
Oh, is he one of those?
He doesn't like when I touch him, so I will go out of my way to put my hand on his shoulder or give him a hug every once in a while and just feel him stiffen up like a 2x4.
We used to have a guy by the name of Steve McHugh.
His body will stiffen up.
Yeah, no, I've seen that as well. Good save again.
It's got to be clear on that.
I used to work with a guy called Steve McHugh who ran the NFL UK Lives, all of our live stage show events. And he was the same way. He couldn't, like, the most he could do was fist bump. Like, if you went and, like, cuddled him or hugged him or whatever, it was, he just couldn't handle it. So the last show he did, he left from doing those at the NFL in 2017. So the last show in London, we'd signed some footballs, some shirts. We got him on stage. And there were, like, six players on stage with me that night. And they all just group hugged him. You've never seen a man look so uncomfortable in his life.
I don't know what that's about. But Greg typically is impervious to messing with him. It's just, I consider it a real character, a positive character trait he has.
So is he more of a challenge to mess with? Because Mark's too easy, like you say. It's like Mark's
too easy.
Right?
Greg is, you never know. Sometimes I'll get under his skin.
Right.
But when I do, I never really see it coming, typically. But the Patriots would probably be the other one with him, now that I think about it. He, you know, especially if we're in the newsroom and like when the Patriots went down in flames against the Dolphins, your Dolphins, Neil, in week 17, I could barely contain myself and I could see Greg just seething with anger. Like at that point, he wanted me dead.
Back to back Ryans took down Brady.
Yes, that's true.
Now we've got this far into the interview and haven't really spoken about the NFL yet. For the uninitiated among you, Dan is a New York Jets fan. So I asked him about his introduction to the NFL and how it was growing up as a Jets fan, so often surrounded by supporters of the New York Giants.
Football was always an important part of my youth. I grew up first and foremost a Yankees fan and Major League Baseball. But my dad grew up in the Bronx section in New York City, which that's where the Giants used to play, and the Yankees used to share a stadium. So typically, Yankees, Giants fans grouped together, and then the Jets and the New York Mets of baseball were grouped together. But my dad never connected with the Giants as a kid. He was just a Yankees fan. But then when Joe Namath showed up, and my dad, who's in his mid-60s now, but he was, you know, in his teenage years, when Namath hit, he had a hero, that he could get behind. So I became the rare for the New York tri-state area Yankee Jets fans. And the Yankees have been very good to me. The Jets, it's been very difficult. My earliest memory is fitting. It was a game between the Jets and Kansas City Chiefs at the Meadowlands in 1988. It was a 17-17 tie in a downpour in which I believe Freeman McNeil fumbled in either the end of regulation or overtime to keep the Jets from winning. So that would be my earliest Jets memory. Yeah. And and then as kind of the 90s progressed, I became more and more of a diehard fan. And then speaking of the Dolphins again, I think I truly became indoctrinated into Jets culture when I was at Giants Stadium on November 27th, 1994. I still have the ticket stub, the fake spike game.
Oh, you were there.
Which I will never forget.
Oh, wow.
It was a beautiful, it was a clear, cold night. And it was 3 days after Thanksgiving, and my uncle, Stu, and my father, my cousin, Mike, and myself had tickets. I remember vividly drinking hot chocolate in the parking lot before, throwing around the football. The Jets are up, I believe, 17 points.
Yeah.
It's a game for first place, and then Marino with, I believe, Mark Ingram.
Mark Ingram, right? Yeah, Mark Ingram's dad.
The
dad of the Saints, the Ravens running back.
Yeah. Right, right. Begin their incredible comeback. And I'll never forget, it was the Jets had a tight end, a first round bust, Johnny Mitchell. It was Johnny Mitchell poster night or poster day.
Johnny Mitchell worked with me on Sky Sports. I'll tell you some Johnny Mitchell stories in a second.
At the Meadowlands. And I remember walking back to the car, and everyone was in a zombified state because the Jets, after that game, lost out. So they went from 6-5 to 6-10, then 3-13 under Kotite, and then 1-15.
Right.
So they went, I think, 4-29 over the next 2.5 years, and everyone ripping up their Johnny Mitchell posters and throwing them in the dumpster. It was like Johnny Mitchell didn't even do anything wrong, but I'll never forget that. That was my indoctrination into Jets culture.
Johnny Mitchell won't listen to this podcast, will he?
Highly unlikely Johnny Mitchell checks this out, but who knows?
All right, so I worked with Johnny Mitchell on Sky Sports. I met Johnny. He came over to NFL UK. Nice guy. Not the brightest guy.
Oh, Neil.
Just going to say it. And he sat down, and we had lunch with NFL UK guys, and he bit into this burger, and the massive lump of like barbecue sauce went all the way down his front. That was his first impression. But he got a gig on Sky Sports, and he struggled a little
Here's the problem you have, Neil. After this goes up, you have to worry, but don't worry about me. I won't ratch up.
I've started
the
story now.
If he's on Twitter, someone may tag him and then say, check out this podcast. And then Johnny Mitchell will come after Neil Reynolds. Say, how could you tell the barbecue sauce incident?
And he was our producer at the time, suggested to Johnny that he wasn't the smartest person and that he did have a future in broadcasting, but first he needs to go to night school. This was our producer.
Wow, so, yeah, night school.
Johnny Mitchell.
The indignity of it all.
Now, one of the joys and privileges of working in the media is seeing established and emerging talent up close and personal, something Dan has been able to do for a decade in the NFL. So who has stood out and who has Dan enjoyed covering purely for the fun of it? Oh, and ever the professional, Dan had to double check that his comments were not going to be time sensitive.
Well, podcast fans will know that I'll point to Justin Tucker, the Ravens kicker.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think one of the reasons I'm so excited about the Super Bowl is Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
There's just something special about him. Like, that is what that makes. This is airing before the Super Bowl?
It's after, but it's fine. I've been telling everyone. So, full disclosure, yes, we are recording in Super Bowl week. So, it's absolutely fine.
Okay.
So, but it will be after, yes.
But when in that AFC title game, after again the Chiefs fall behind, and I think it was a 27-yard touchdown run, which if they go on and win the Super Bowl, it is. To me, that will be the helicopter John Elway moment.
Yes, yeah.
It was just one of those plays that it's just like, damn, this guy can do anything.
Yeah.
And I thought it was so interesting this season in the year where Lamar Jackson, and he deserved every bit of praise he got, kind of took over the league and did something no one had ever done before, going, you know, 3,000 yards, 1,000 yards,
right,
passing, 1,000 yards rushing, and MVP and all that stuff. Like, that it didn't, to me, ever overshadow the fact that Mahomes was still the guy.
Right.
And what he did last year, and remembering what he did in the fourth quarter against the Patriots in the AFC title game, and the shame of it, and not just as a Patriots hater, but just as a football fan, him not getting on the field in the overtime of the AFC title game last year. For him now to come back and watching what he's been able to do, and that scare in the middle of the season when he had the knee injury, and he's like, oh, no, is he going to be like one of those tragic what-if guys?
Right.
To see him get back from that injury that looks so bad and then be as special as he was during the playoffs.
Yeah.
He's, to me, the guy that jumps out really above anyone else in the years that I've been working at NFL.
I feel like already, you know, the numbers are incredible. We could make a whole podcast just listing out his achievements and statistics.
It just looks so effortless to him, which I think is one of the traits of the truly special.
Well, look, in 2 years, we've seen already a left-handed pass, a no-look pass, a pass where he's rolling to his right and throws back across the grain, which is breaks all the rules of engagement for a quarterback. And I think he's a transcendent talent. I think, you know, as I said, we're recording this in Super Bowl week. I think he's got the chance to be here a lot of times. This so often we talk about Super Bowls and we're talking about the end of something. Is it the end of Brady? Is it the end of right. This feels like the beginning of something.
Yeah, it certainly does. And your boy Marino is the cautionary tale that that's not always the case.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mahomes seems like, as long as he's in an organization that knows how to team build, he will be able to get them over the top, because that was a big part of what made Brady in his career, is that he was a tremendous talent and a gamer and as clutch as they get, but he was always surrounded in a good organization that kept giving him more bites at the apple in January. The way the Chiefs are set up now, you imagine that it'll be a similar situation with them.
So I've been drinking water. I don't always drink wine.
I'm disappointed.
Not all the time. So
when are we going to have a glass of wine?
Well, I think...
Just you and I. Just chop it up.
Just us.
No mics. Don't save it for the pod. Just a beautiful bottle of Merlot.
Could be a bit awkward. It feels a bit awkward. I'm going to end it there.
No one else is allowed in the room. Just us.
Okay, so that's my conversation with Dan Hanzus. We'll have more of the Around the NFL podcast heroes throughout the course of the Neil Reynolds podcast. We'll get all the guys on at some point. Time now to hear from you and to delve into the mailbag. So let's bring in producer Gary Hayes. Gary, how are you, mate?
Hi, Neil. I'm good. Thanks for having me on again.
My pleasure.
I've got a quick question for you, actually.
Go on.
Can I have Dan's number? Because I want to invite him down the pub. I think it'd be a good night out.
I can confirm he is a good night out. And yes, I think everyone just wants to go for a beer with Dan. That's kind of, isn't that a good indication of the of a presenter?
Oh, definitely. Or, he comes across so well. Obviously, I've never met him, but I was really entertained working on this episode.
I went out to dinner with Dan once in Super Bowl in Minneapolis, and we had a great night, but I more remember the journey to the restaurant, because it was in a blizzard, and myself and Jeff Reinbold got dropped off by mistake 15 blocks from the restaurant. They dropped us, the taxi dropped us at the wrong restaurant, and so we had to get in one of those disco bikes, you know, where you sit in the back and the disco music's playing and there's all these lights flashing. And it was myself and Jeff sitting in the back of this push bike being pedaled through a blizzard in Minneapolis just to get to Dan Hanzus.
Sounds cold.
It was cold. It's all part of the glamour of, you know, so it's all rock and roll with me.
Right. So just on to the questions that really matter, the questions from our listeners. First one this week is from Chaz Albrecht. I hope I'm pronouncing that correct. He asks, have you ever entered a stadium and it's taken your breath away? Or a moment during a live game when the crowd gets so loud and the hairs stand up on your arms or neck?
I think those moments... So the very first one would be the very first NFL stadium I ever stepped into. I was on holiday in San Francisco in 1993. I went into Candlestick Park. I was big on the history of the NFL. You know, I went into where Joe Montana threw that touchdown pass to Dwight Clark, you know, the catch and all the history that goes with that stadium. And it was the very first time I'd been to a game in America. So it was only a preseason game, but that was incredible. And then I think really a lot of those moments where I'm very privileged to be at the Super Bowl and the national anthem takes place and then there's a flyover. This year, I thought in Miami, it was spectacular with the announcement once the Chiefs, Kansas City Chiefs, came running out of the tunnel, and then the whole place turned into virtually Arrowhead Stadium, and the noise was deafening, and it felt spectacular, and you couldn't wait for the game to kick off. And I'm going to bring one closer to home. I think the very first time I saw Tottenham Hotspur Stadium filled to the rafters, you know, and you hear all the British fans singing "God Save the Queen." Those are the moments where you kind of puff your chest out a bit and you stand up a little bit taller and you're really proud to do what you're doing.
Okay. Just moving on to Steve Myatt, who asks, what is the best quarterback wide receiver partnership in NFL history?
Well, there's so many of them. I mean, you go Dan Marino to the Marx brothers.
I knew you were going to say Dan Marino.
I've got to get Dan Marino in there. I'm just giving all the honorable mentions, you know, Johnny Unitas to Raymond Berry. Really going back in the day, you could go modern day now and have Peyton Manning to Marvin Harrison, Drew Brees to Michael Thomas even in the last couple of years. But the one that's iconic to me is Joe Montana to Jerry Rice, the San Francisco 49ers, right at the height of San Francisco's powers. Montana was just a clinician who would slice defenses apart, and Jerry Rice was simply uncoverable. They, as They as a duo were unstoppable.
He was quick as well, Jerry Rice.
He was quick as a football player, but if you just put a stopwatch on him, not necessarily so, but no one could outwork Jerry Rice. And he was always going to outwork you, outthink you, outperform you, and he did all of that to the nth degree, time and time again.
Okay, here's a question which I think is probably one of the best ones you've had, actually. Is there any NFL game you wish you could revisit and attend live? And that comes from Stuart Simpson.
Oh, Stuart, good one. I love my NFL history, so I want to go back to the 1967 NFL Championship game. People might know it better as the Ice Bowl. It was so cold. It was the coldest game in NFL history. It was the Green Bay Packers and the Dallas Cowboys. Apparently, the turf was like playing on concrete. There was a famous story of a journalist who was in his hotel room in Green Bay the morning of the game, and he made a cup of coffee in his room, put it on the ledge next to the window inside the hotel room, and the coffee froze. That's how cold it was. Bart Starr scores the winning touchdown. Vince Lombardi's patrolling the sidelines. Talk about NFL history at its best. I'd love to go back to that game.
Chilly. Right.
To say the least.
So the last question this week is from another Simpson, the Simpsons, Peter Simpson. Not sure if he's related to Stuart, but he asks, which is a little bit controversial, actually. How much stigma have you experienced across the pond through being a UK-based NFL presenter? Has anyone in particular been bad for giving what do you know, you're only a Brit type response? I should have used an American accent there, shouldn't I? What do you know, you're only a Brit?
When are you going to use the American accent? You're going to start with it. Oh, was that it? Sorry. I thought it sounded like, I don't know, Scottish. I haven't really openly experienced that. I think there's a level of surprise. So there's a number of big name people that I've sometimes sat with in stands watching practices. And then you can hear them getting kind of surprised at what you know. And I think with a lot of the team PR people now, public relations people, I've built up a reputation over the years. So, you know, I'll get introduced to a head coach by a PR guy as, oh, you know, he's the John Madden or the John Madden of the UK or the Rich Eisen of the UK. And this guy really knows his stuff. So I feel like actually it's, you know, you surprise them a little bit, but if I've done my research and I know the game and I live and breathe this game, they soon realize what you know and what you don't know. I would actually flip it around, Gary, and say in the early days on Sky Sports, and I think this is because people are so expecting to see an American accent covering an American sport. I would say I actually got more of a stigma on this side of the pond in the UK. So I'd be like, oh, well, what does he know? He's only a Brit. And then that would come from some fans on Twitter. And then I would sit next to Wade Phillips, who has won countless Super Bowls and is a coaching legend. I'd sit next to Wade Phillips in the studio, and then he'd say to me, you've just blown me away by how much you know about this sport. But because British fans heard the British accent, they just assumed you couldn't know. Now, I think I've managed to work past that over a number of years, but I would actually say there's been more of a stigma from British fans towards me than there has been from American people that I've interviewed.
The John Madden of the UK. That's our new podcast strapline.
Do you
right
like
there.
It?
The Neil Reynolds podcast, the John
so
Madden
I'm going to come out with
UK.
My own video game. I'm not sure it'd be very good, but, you know, budget allowing, we'll see what we can come up with. Maybe like NFL Sabutio. Am I allowed to say product placement like that? Is that just got some sponsorship with Sabutio?
Hopefully they'll send us some new Sabutio packs in the post when they hear
it. Fantastic, fantastic. That'd be good stuff. All right, so we are done with this episode. Next up, Gary, we're going to have one of our Brits in the NFL. So Jamie Gillen, the punter for the Cleveland Browns, will join me. We'll play out my conversation with Jamie on August the 13th.
Look forward to it.
It'd be good, wouldn't it? Well, I liked it anyway. So I'm sure everyone else will. I hope so anyway. So, with that, we will call time on this edition. My thanks to Dan Hansus. Thanks for all your questions. Thank you for listening. Do leave us a review on iTunes if you can. Tell your friends. Let's spread the word. And we are going weekly once we get into the 2020 regular season. So until next time, it's bye for now.
This episode was hosted by myself, Neil Reynolds. Our producer is Gary Hayes, while Matt Alabaster is responsible for all of our artwork. Taylor Hayes mixed this episode and also composed our theme music. Special thanks to junior producer Henry Smith and everyone else involved in helping us put this episode together. The Neil Reynolds Podcast is a Highway 61 production for the Reynolds Podcast Network.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.